Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Self-Taught Artist Podcast. We are diving into the world of brushwork precision and control, and talking about essential skills for artists aiming to perfect their art. We are going to explore some special exercises, ideal brushes, and different techniques and additives you can use to empower all of you artists out there to craft intricate details in your art and elevate your brushwork so that you can elevate your artistic creations. So join me today as we unlock some of the secrets to mastering brushwork, helping you transform the artistic vision in your head into stunning realities. All right, today we are first going to start with our review of the week. This one is titled Amazing, and it's on Apple Podcasts. It comes to us from Mellow Limes Melt. They write, Lauren Christine is such a kind, compassionate teacher. I just love listening to her and learning from her. Thank you for these very helpful lessons. Oh, that really makes me smile. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave me a review and let me know how this podcast is impacting you. It just makes my heart so happy. All of you listeners, if you would take a minute to rate me 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, that would mean the world to me. Wherever you're listening, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or the follow button, and that ensures you never miss an episode. All right. So today, we are diving into the nitty-gritty of improving your brushwork precision and control to master the finer details in your paintings. So grab your paintbrushes and let's get started. This is one of those episodes where I'm going to give you a lot of different ideas, a lot of different exercises and things to try. But first up, let's discuss the importance of patience. Precision and control and brushwork, that comes with practice and time. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither are masterpiece paintings. You have to take your time to develop these skills. I know when you watch videos of artists online, it looks like they just do everything so, so fast. But they didn't start there, and also they might be speeding up their videos. You don't know. So just take it slow and remember, it's gonna take some time. This is just one of those things, there's really no substitute for practice and time. So start with some simple exercises, like the ones I'm gonna share with you today, and then gradually work your way up to the more intricate details and some more advanced ones. But first things first, I'm going to give you some ideas of some practical exercises that can help to elevate your brushwork game. I know some of these seem simple, but again, it's just about laying that foundation and it's going to help you in a lot of different unexpected ways, believe me. All right, number one, line control. Start by practicing painting straight lines with varying thickness. Begin with broader lines and then challenge yourself to create thinner and thinner ones. Play around with different brush pressures also to see the impact on your lines. And also try to figure out how much paint you should have on your brush at one time, because that's a really important thing with trying to get straight lines and painting lines in general, is figuring out how much paint to have on your brush, how thin it should be, do you need any additives? We're going to talk more about those things later, but really with all of these, there's so many different variables to play with that may or may not be obvious at first. But when you're doing these exercises, you will start to understand what I'm talking about. The other thing I'll say is that the brush that you choose for the different exercises also impacts it a lot. So I would tell you as well to practice with a lot of different brushes and see what you like. You know, there's a liner brush that is specifically made for lines and calligraphy, and that would be something to try. You can also try small brushes, thicker brushes, round brushes, you know, flat brushes, just all different kinds. I would try and see how do you get a line with each of them. It seems simple. It's a lot harder than it looks. All right. The second exercise is curve mastery. Work on creating controlled curves and arcs. Try your hand at painting concentric circles or spirals. Now, the goal with this exercise here is to achieve smooth and even lines with your brush. If you have to pick up your brush in between, let's say you're working on a spiral and you don't quite hit the end, how do you make it look smooth after you've had to pick up your brush? Or if you run out of paint, how do you then complete your lines and your arcs and your curves? How do you complete them while making it look smooth and even? That's the magic right there. It's not easy. All right, exercise number 3, crosshatching and stippling. These techniques are fantastic for adding texture and detail to your work. Crosshatching involves intersecting lines, while stippling consists of using tiny dots. I'd encourage you to experiment with both to create depth and shading in some little practice paintings and see what you can do with crosshatching and stippling. I see this a lot also with drawing as well, crosshatching and stippling, but I don't know, think about it with painting. Think about trying that. Try it just as a brushwork exercise, and then you might find ways to integrate it into other paintings that you work on. Number 4, fine detail studies. Pick a small, intricate object like a little flower, an insect, or a piece of jewelry, and paint it in extreme detail. This exercise will push your brushwork precision skills to the next level, out of necessity, because in order to paint something small, intricate, and detailed, well, you gotta have brushwork control to make that happen. So this can be a great way to practice. All right, exercise number 5, freehand geometric shapes. Challenge yourself to draw a perfect circle, a perfect square, a perfect triangle, and other geometric shapes freehand. This practice can help to improve your overall control. And again, with all of these exercises, playing around with your brushes and the amount of paint and how you load the brush and how much water's on your brush, all of these things are very important foundational skills. And frankly, I mean, I call them foundational, but really they're also maintenance skills for any artist. And I think improving at these things will always show up in positive ways in your art. So while it might seem elementary or basic, these things can really help to unlock other more advanced brushwork options later, or to unlock new techniques and abilities for your paintings. It's like with painting, everything layers on top. And that goes for the paint on your canvas and your skills. You have one set of skills and you layer another set of skills on top and another and another. And that's what adds the something special to your artwork and to your skills, that toolbox of skills that you have. All right, exercise number 6, brushstroke consistency. Lastly, I want you to work on creating brushstrokes of consistent length and width. This is vital for maintaining uniformity in your artwork, and it can be quite challenging. So just, you know, make a mark and then try and copy it exactly. Again, it's not always easy. But now that we've covered some helpful exercises, I want to talk more about having the right tools for the job and being able to tell what you need for the job at hand, even. So for example, when aiming for finer details, consider using a round brush or a liner brush. These brushes have a pointed tip that allows for controlled and precise lines. I'd say to opt for a very small brush, like a 0 or a 1 round brush, and always have one of those on hand, as those are pretty much, I'd say, usually ideal for detailed work. Look for brushes made with high quality bristles that will maintain their shape and provide excellent control. Or you can do what I do, which is I actually buy cheaper brushes, but I actually swap them out more often. I've spoken about this extensively in past episodes, but I really love the Simply Simmons lines of paintbrushes. They are cheap and they are pretty widely available. I get them at my local Michaels, but I know a lot of art supply stores carry them. So think about that as an alternative to the high quality expensive brushes. You can get high quality brushes that are not that expensive. And that is what I tend to go for. Good value brushes that have a good point. And I mean, the other thing that I typically do is I buy a couple of small detail brushes at a time. That way, if one, you know, has seen better days, I have the option of pulling out a fresh one for that really, really fine stippling if I need it, or a really, really fine detail dot somewhere, or a small tiny line. So that's something to think about, is just having some cheaper brushes that are, you know, more intact and they have that perfect point still, because, you know, it's hard to beat a perfect point on a paintbrush. That is just so satisfying as an artist. Okay, let's see, back to it. The other thing I would encourage you to think about is thinning your paint. Precision typically requires a thinner, more fluid paint consistency. So thinning paint is actually a very common practice in a lot of painting mediums to achieve different effects and improve application. And this is something that I didn't fully grasp in my early days as an artist. I didn't fully understand all of the different ways you can like alter your paint to help you kind of achieve the effect that you need. And, you know, one of those examples is thinning your paint. That will make it easier to control your brush and create smooth, fine lines. But I will say, be cautious not to overthin paint. If you overthin paint, it can lead to unwanted drips or splotches, or even worse, you can actually water down paint to the point where the binders don't work anymore to bind it to your substrate that you're painting on. That's worst case scenario number one. And then worst case scenario number two is that you actually add so much retarder to your paint, which is another method for thinning your paint, that the paint never dries. So you have to be a little cautious, but we're going to go step by step into some of these specific methods and what to watch out for. Now, the specific medium you should use for thinning your paint depends on the type of paint you are using, what medium you paint with. So you need to do a little research if you are not completely sure, but I'm going to share some of the big ones. So here are some common painting mediums for thinning different types of paint and making it easier to work with in some cases. So number one, the biggest one you're going to run into is water. Water is commonly used to thin down water-based paints, like watercolors, gouache, and acrylic paint. Water is readily available, easy to control. However, I remind you, just be cautious not to overthin, as it can dilute the color so much that it can really weaken the paint's adhesion. Or in the case of gouache or watercolors, you can completely wash out your pigment altogether, and you don't want to do that. But water is the, I'd say, number one go-to, but just start slow and experiment. Always test first before you put it on your masterpiece canvas. Number two, if you're an oil painter, this one's for you. Turpentine or mineral spirits. These solvents are used to thin oil-based paints. And so if you're an oil painter, turpentine or mineral spirits, this is what you need. You probably already know about these because they are used for cleaning brushes and cleaning palettes. They are critical with oil painting. So just remember to use them in a well-ventilated area and follow all safety precautions. Number three, acrylic mediums. For acrylic paint specifically, you can use acrylic mediums like acrylic glazing fluid or flow improver. And these mediums not only thin the paint, but also enhance its flow and transparency while maintaining the color vibrancy. Another thing you can think about is actually buying different acrylic paint. For example, Golden makes what's called high flow paint. And I know that Liquitex has a soft body paint that spreads a little thinner. And I believe they also have a new addition to their Liquitex Basics line of Liquitex Basics Fluid Paint. I'm going to look that up really quick. It's to make sure I have it right. Yes, Basics Acrylic Fluid by Liquitex. That is another option. That would be your most, I'd say, budget-friendly option, would be to experiment with a Liquitex Basics Fluid Acrylic. Now, I have to admit, I have yet to try the Liquitex Basics Fluids myself, but I'm a big fan of Liquitex Basics. I have a ton of them. I've used them a lot. And so I have to guess that the Liquitex Basics Acrylic Fluid is also great. All right, but back to mediums. So acrylic mediums, acrylic glazing liquid or glazing fluid, flow improver, flow aid is another name. You may find it branded under. Every brand is going to have a different name for it, but look for those kinds of things. The other things you can look for are gel mediums, and these are also for acrylic paints. And gel mediums, that sounds thick, but actually gel mediums are available in various thicknesses. Some gel mediums can be used to extend the paint and make it more transparent without sacrificing adhesion. So when you ask yourself, why would I use an acrylic medium over water? Well, that last part kind of gives you exactly why. It would be to kind of get the benefits of water, to thin the paint and extend the paint, but not sacrificing the vibrancy of the color and without sacrificing the adhesion and how well it sticks to your substrate, especially if you're painting on something like a wood panel or canvas. Paper, you know, that'll usually, a lot of things will adhere to paper. But if you're working on any other substrate, there are some benefits to using an acrylic medium or a gel medium instead. I have a lot of different mediums that I use for my acrylic paints, and I love them. I will say Liquitex Basics, again, has some that you can try out if you just want to experiment. And then I think that the Golden mediums are phenomenal as well. Lots of different options out there. And in general, I would say acrylic mediums or gel mediums, you probably don't need to splurge on mediums because it is an additive. So if you're on a tight budget, I'd say that mediums and gels, start with the Liquitex Basics and work your way up. All right, oil mediums. These are for oil painters. In addition to solvents like turpentine, oil painters can use oil-based mediums like linseed oil or stand oil to thin the paint and adjust its consistency. I also, on the flip side, just so you know, there's also oil mediums and additives that you can use to thicken the paint as well on the flip side. Like one that I'm aware of is using wax, like cold wax. So these mediums, I just want to let you know, can also alter the drying time and the finish of the paint. So as with most things, test first before you put it on your masterpiece work. Lastly, the last one I'm going to talk about is retarder. And retarders are additives that can be used with acrylic paints to slow down their drying time. While they don't technically thin the paint, they do make it easier to work with and they make it easier to blend, which can be very helpful for achieving smoother transitions in your artwork. So if you use your paint with a retarder, it can really help, for example, in those areas where, let's say, you have to lift your brush and reload your brush with paint and keep going. It can just keep the paint open longer. If you hear open time, that's a synonym for like drying time. So if you keep it open longer, that means you're going to keep it wet and workable longer. And so if it's wet and workable, then you can oftentimes get that consistency look if you have to pick up your brush and achieve smoother transitions in your artwork that way. Now, I will say retarders go by several different names. I'm going to look up a few of them now. It's like, for example, here you go. Under the Liquitex brand name, they have their own kind of trademarked name, and it's called slow dry medium. Winsor & Newton, they call it slow drying medium or a fluid retarder, depending on what line you're working with. So, and then the other thing is with Golden, they actually call it Golden Open, referring to the open time. They have special paints that have it already mixed in, but then they also sell a separate product called retarder that you can add to any paint. So instead of going for the Golden Open line, I'd say just buy normal paint and add drops of retarder. So that way you can choose when you want to slow down drying versus not. Now, especially with retarders, when thinning paint or using retarders, it is so important to follow the manufacturer's recommendations for the specific paint brand you're using. So don't take my word for it. Go read the bottle and double check, because different brands may have different variations in their formulations. And I'd encourage you to start with very small amounts of the chosen medium and gradually add more until you achieve the desired consistency. So that way you can better maintain control over the thinning process and avoid over diluting your paint and getting results you don't want. Because as I mentioned, with retarders specifically, like the difference can be a drop in how long it takes to dry. So for example, if you add one drop too many, you could add hours of dry time to your paint, depending on how much paint you have there and the different characteristics of what you're mixing together. So start really small. Like I'm talking drops of retarder, not like puddles, if you know what I mean. All right. So another tip I don't want to forget to mention is you need to breathe. Don't forget your breath and the steadiness of your hand, because I'm serious, maintaining steady breathing and remaining calm while you paint can significantly impact your brushwork. Take slow, deep breaths, stay calm, and avoid shaky hands, which can make it hard to get your fine details. Relaxation is key to precision. I find the more I tense up, the more pressure I put on myself, the more my hand starts to shake and get unsteady and my brain goes wild. So you know, slow down, take a deep breath. Remember, it's just art. All mistakes are just happy little accidents and it's fixable. It's just art. It's just a painting. You can always edit it. You can always add another layer. You can always change it up and work with what you've got. So, you know, don't let the small details weigh you down. But overall, remember, my fellow self-taught artists, the key to improving your brushwork precision and control overall is just consistent practice. Go back to these exercises that I mentioned and think about how you can integrate them into your regular painting routine. With time and dedication, I promise you will see progress in your ability to handle the finer details in your artwork, and you're going to find that you're able to do more than ever before with your brush. And as artists, that's one of our critical tools in helping to make our artistic vision a reality. So with that, I'm going to wrap up today's episode of the Self-Taught Artist Podcast. I hope you found these tips and exercises helpful in your artistic journey. If you did, please share this episode with your fellow artist friends and leave me a 5-star rating and review. Keep those brushes moving, stay inspired, and until next time, happy creating, my friends. If you're enjoying this podcast, could you take a few seconds to rate the podcast 5 stars? Leave a written review on Apple Podcasts, and of course, hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. That ensures you never miss an episode. These 3 things go a long way to share this podcast with other self-taught artists and keep it going. Thank you so much.